Happy solstice and welcome to DJ Damaru Evolution Revolution. Let's just start in music this morning. We'll be going around more talk on meditation and I'm not sure. I see weird message there in the chat, but let's start in music and see how that's gonna work. Okay. We'll talk soon. This was Rejoicer with Changa Cold Change from their album Energy Dream. Always find them quite refreshing and quite fitting to start on this solstice special. Maybe it'll be special for some sort. This week I wanted to continue the talk on meditation that was started 3 weeks ago now. Started 3 weeks ago on meditation and the foundation of it. And for the last week we started on the 10 blocks of the 10 elements of meditation. As I said or talked about previously, I started to write a book on meditation after meditating or experimenting with meditation for many years, over 25 years now. And one of the elements that I wanted to kind of pass on or teach about is these building block of meditation so that people can just create their own meditation how they see fit for themselves instead of having to rely on a lineage or a certain school of thought and things like that. It often feels that meditation is always connected to a, you know, a Buddhist center or a yoga center or other religious groups or spiritual lineage. And often it's not that easy to experiment or modify meditation or just kind of break it in little pieces and try to rebuild it for yourself. And I think it's very important to do so. The book, the working title on the book was Meditation for Hacker. The idea was really to break it, the meditation concept, in little pieces so that you can rebuild it and understand all these elements. So these elements of, so far anyway, I've found out 10 elements or building blocks, and these are kind of question or ideas that you can ask yourself for your own meditation or whenever you're practicing a meditation to kind of analyze what a meditation is all about. So in any meditation, you have the question, what do you do with your body? What you do with your mind? What you do with your breath? That's what we explored last week. And these are the three first elements. And then what you do with your voice, what you do with your emotion, what you do with your senses. The three elements that we might be able to cover today. And then the four last element is the location of the meditation, what you're creating during a meditation, what are the tools you're using, and what are you consuming. So let's look at your voice. So the voice in meditation is a tool that's very powerful, and I mean, I've singled out the voice because, you know, you can say, well, that's part of the creation or the creative aspect of meditation. It might be part of the mind. It might be part of different elements. But the voice is very unique in meditation. So you can use the voice, you know, talking out loud. You can use the voice that you have in your head. You can use your voice as a writing practice. So one of the practice in different meditation technique is called mantra practice. And mantra is where you repeat a certain word on multiple time. Certain lineage would be using like a mala. Some other lineage would be using a rosary with all these prayer on each beads. So using your voice for a meditation has always been part of, you know, many, many, many lineage. How you use your voice is a very powerful tool in day-to-day life. So, you know, communication is at the foundation of our culture. And if you are not able to use your voice, then you often feel neglected. You feel kind of singled out. So the use of voice in your meditation has multiple benefit. I often talk about, you know, what do you decide to do as a meditation? And the answer I say is that you look at your day and you look at the thing you want to benefit from meditation. So I was saying, like, you're working all day sitting, maybe you want to do a standing meditation, you're focusing on reading a lot of code all day, maybe at night you want to meditate by closing your eyes. So if you want to work on communication and expressing yourself or discovering who you are through your voice, then using your voice, you know, if you feel the whole day you're working in a job where you're not heard, or communication is a big part of what you'd like to work with in meditation, then using your voice becomes super, super important in the meditation. That's something I discussed about on the first show about meditation, is to have a bit of a goal when you do meditation. If you're meditating for no reason at all, it's really hard to measure where meditation is taking you. It's really hard to say, oh, this meditation works while this meditation is not working. It's fine to meditate without a goal. I mean, you can just, you know, sit down or stand up and enjoy the effect of meditation. But when you have a goal and you can write about it, it's really, it creates a bit of a mechanism for you to say, well, this meditation works for me, this doesn't work for me. So if you're in a place where communication is one of your goal, expressing yourself is one of your goal, or even, you know, on the creative side of things, if you're a painter or a writer and you want to change how you express yourself, then using your voice becomes a very powerful tool. You don't need to speak out loud, like I said. You can use your mind to practice your voice. And the mind is really interesting. One of the meditation I really like to do is the voice you hear in your head, the thoughts that you have, and you're thinking about this and that. It has, you know, a sound of its own, and you can change that voice in your head. I know it sounds a little crazy, but you decide what your voice in your head sounds like. So it's a practice that I often do when we sit in meditation and we listen to the voice, and you repeat an affirmation or you repeat a prayer or you repeat something, and then you change that voice. So if you're a man or whatever gender you have, you can change the tone of your voice. And I got a message there that 40% of people in the world do not think in words. So if you don't hear a voice in your head, you can try it out for sure. But if that doesn't work, of course, you can do different other practice. So, you know, practicing a voice in your head might not be the best thing if you cannot hear a voice. I know that's a very interesting thing, that the mind will act very differently for different people. When we were doing visualization, there's people who cannot visualize as well, like their mind cannot create these solid images. So if you cannot hear a voice in your head, you can practice and see if it happens, but also that wouldn't be a meditation for you. So that practice that I was talking about is just to change that voice, and you can have multiple voices as well. So just to create a bit of fluidity, your thoughts they might be sounding one way or another. I know that sometimes people, or myself, when I judge myself in my head and I said, well, Jeff, you're this, it might have more of a authority voice. Maybe you can hear your parent or your sister or your brother's voice in your head. So to define how you hear yourself thinking is a very interesting practice to start with. But you can also use your voice out loud. So a lot of the mantra practices or the affirmation practices. So when an affirmation is just saying like, I will sleep better tonight, right? It's a very simple affirmation that might help you sleep. Or I will have dream tonight. One that I really like is I will have lucid dream tonight as an affirmation in order to practice lucid dreaming. So using your voice during your meditation will have an effect on you, but using affirmation will also have a positive effect. We often repeat in our head negative thoughts and things like that. So then if you put positive thoughts in your mind, it might change, some of your day. Writing, again, is another form of using your voice. In mantra practices, we call it Likhita Japa, so you write a mantra. But you can write words, you can write symbols or things like that. This is another way to, use your voice in your dream, in your meditation. I'm working a lot with my dream lately, doing dream yoga. It's been quite an adventure. So dream is very close to meditation right now for me. So yeah, your voice is a tool. You can use it or not. The elements, these 10 elements of meditation, they're all you can use them or not. It doesn't mean that you have to have an element of voice. You can just not have anything to do with voice, only focusing on the body, the breath, the mind, and then the voice. You say, well, I'm not going to use my voice. Of course, singing and other creative outcome like that can be used, but when it becomes more creative, there's actually one element of meditation that is about creativity. So here you go with voice. That's a powerful tool to use in meditation. It's a powerful kind of connection to who you are. If you're listening to your thoughts and you hear always the same voice, you can try to play around and then change it a little bit and then see how that goes. We're gonna continue with music with Nature Boy Flacco, and the song is called The Great Escape. You're listening to DJ Damaru Evolution Revolution on AnonRadio.net. This is hosted by SDF.org, and we're all chatting in the comm. So if you're, I don't know, a bit of a geek, a bit of a nerd, a bit of a hacker, and know how to use Telnet and SSH and all these older, scarier, darker technology of the internet, or if you're just curious, it's very simple to SSH to SDF.org and come in the chat room there and chat with us. It's always fun to have people commenting and discussing what's going on with your radio show. And Megan was now talking about how people, some people don't, you know, hear voice in their head or cannot think with this type of voice. So, it's super nice to have people around listening and chatting about it. And we are discussing about meditation. It's the third show on meditation. And I'm explaining or going through the elements or the different building blocks of meditation. The idea here is that you can build your own meditation if you know these elements. And then you can find how you can meditate or a technique that will work for yourself. I think everybody can meditate, but it's hard sometimes to discover the meditation that will work for you. And often you only have access to, you know, a yoga school or a meditation center, and they normally will have one or two type of meditation. And if it doesn't work for you, then, you know, you might say, well, meditation doesn't work for me. But trust me, there are plenty of meditations, meditation technique to go around, and there's always something that will work for you. So the elements, there's ten of elements, and we just talked about the voice. Now the next element in meditation is emotions. So emotion is a huge part of our life, and for some reason we don't talk a lot about emotions. And a few weeks ago we had a meditation circle, and we were simply exploring emotions. You know, observe fear, sadness, love, take a memory, and then go back to this place of fear or this place of anger and things like that. And it felt quite interestingly counterculture to feel our emotions. It seems like in our general North American culture, emotions aren't something that, you know, we want to show. You know, if somebody gets angry live on a stage or something like that, you know, they'll be, you know, in the news and people will talk about it. We are quite two-dimensional in our, you know, selves. And if some people disagree or show anger or, you know, demonstrate about something they're really, you know, passionate about, it's often kind of not, you know, accepted socially so well. Anyway, don't need to talk about society so much, but emotions can be useful in meditation. It's really a healing practice to observe your emotions. And it's something to that can help people in daily life. So, for example, if you get to work and every time there's a person that shows up, you get angry or you get, you know, tense, or, you know, there's some emotion being created at that time that might be not, you know, working for you, and you want to understand more about them. So that's something to think about when you sit in meditation and you want to explore a certain emotion and define for yourself these emotions. I find that it's hard to talk about emotion often because we don't really know, you know, what emotions are. Like, am I really angry, or I'm more hurt, or I'm more in pain, or I'm more sad? It often like blends all together. So when you sit in meditation and decide on, you know, bringing some emotion into the mix, it also helps, you know, define what these are. So yeah, it's hard to express, you know, exactly how to use emotion apart than just going about it. So to give an example, if you're doing a sitting meditation, one way to do using emotion is to sit down and remember a moment where you felt joy, you know, a very joyous moment in your life. So, you know, closing your eyes and thinking about a memory, you know, from your youth or not too long ago, hopefully, where there was a lot of joy, and then observing how it feels in the body. So what gets triggered when you feel joy? How does it feel in the moment? How does it feel after? And that kind of focus brings the mind to really observe the reaction of the body and the mind itself to these emotions. So in meditation, there's often a point of concentration. So sometimes you will look at something, you will listen to something, or you will, you know, smell something, or you will, you know, fix your gaze upon the wall so that you can hold the posture or balancing postures. So the emotion can become a very powerful point of concentration. And that point of concentration often have ripple effect within your body. Emotion will often affect your body. Maybe your heart rate will, you know, go faster. There might be warmth in the body when you feel some anger and things like that. So they're really multifaceted elements in our body, these emotions. So it's a very strong point of concentration. I would say they're not for the beginner in meditation. It might be hard to really focus on emotion for a long time. So it might be something that you use sparingly within your meditation. You just use a little bit and then observe it and see how it feels. And then, you know, experiment with that. Some people have a lot of emotion and they might find that using emotion in their meditation is pretty much the only way for them to meditate. So it's for anyone to try it out and see how it works. And, you know, it's really important to write about your meditation experiment, and hence it's good to have a journal. And when you're working with emotion, I think it's really important to have a journal and then to write about, you know, your experiment. In meditation, there's, you know, loosely three phases: the introduction, the core of the meditation, and then the closing of the meditation. And the closing of a meditation is really important when you're working with emotion. So whether you're ringing a bell, whether you're writing about your experience, whether you're sharing about your experience, you know, it's really important to kind of close that meditation when you're working with emotion, more than other type of meditation, I would say, because the emotion will kind of trigger things, and then maybe your mind started to go around. And, you know, if you're working with anger, for example, and then your mind starts on, like, well, you know, justification and some ideas, thing like that. So having a moment of, like, cooling down from the meditation, reflecting about it, sharing with other people, and kind of digesting a little bit what you've lived through the meditation is really important. Normally, like in most of the time, but definitely with emotions. We'll continue in music with Labelle in his album Orchestre Univers, and this song is called Émotion du Vide. It's pretty fitting for this meditation element. We just heard Labelle with his beautiful album Orchestre Univers, and this track was called Émotions du Vide. We're just chatting in the calm on sdf.org. Megan was saying, yes, meditation is quite needed these days. And I find that the more pressure or the more craziness there is in this world, the more meditation is needed. And we have a small meditation group here on Kootenai Lake that meet on a weekly basis. And it has a very powerful healing effect to be meditating in a group. Not only the meditations are powerful, but the connection that is created between different humans in these moments of meditation, I find they're really at the core of our culture or civilization, or not maybe our culture right now, but as being human is a big part of meditating in a group, you know, chanting in a group, being in a group of people. It's really essential to your survival, to our evolution, and we have to keep doing that. However, whatever is happening out there, you know, it's really important to keep the culture of getting together. This kind of creating a tribe around you, having a very strong connection with people is essential to your survival and our evolution. And that's why my show is called Evolution Revolution. How do we keep on evolving, you know, as a human race, even if the external elements are maybe pushing against our human evolution? How can we create a revolution in our society that we keep on evolving instead of devolving? So we're looking at meditation and listing these 10 elements of meditation. We looked at the body, the mind, the breath, the voice, the emotion, and now the senses. So these senses are all these, you know, somewhat input into our brain. So we have the eyes connecting to the brain, the nose, like the breathing, not the breathing, but the smelling, the taste, the hearing, the touch, and all these senses are, you know, coming to the brain and being analyzed. And it's a huge part of meditation. Like, you can't really shut them down, although there's some meditation that, you know, will close your eyes, your nose, your mouth, but you're still gonna, you know, feel there's some deprivation, sensorial deprivation tank. That's a mouthful. This early in the morning, where you're, I think, floating in this kind of warm, salty water. So you're floating and there's no, you can't hear anything, you can't see anything, and this kind of deprivation of sense is a very strong way of getting into meditation. But then again, you are using your senses to meditate, but you're depriving them. So, but most of us don't have a, you know, sensorial deprivation tank in our living room. So we just end up using our senses one way or another to meditate. And of course, senses are very powerful for meditation. One of the simplest way to bring focus is to look intently at one point. In yoga meditation, it's called trataka. So you're focusing your gaze on one point. And that point can be many things. You know, it could be a deity, you know, it can be God or a goddess, or it could be, you know, a drawing, a geometry drawing, if you're into, you know, sacred geometry and things like that. It could be a chakra, it could be a syllable, it could be a beautiful image, or it could be, you know, a tree, a mountain. The sky is a beautiful, you know, point of focus when you're meditating outside. So the eyes can focus on many, many, many things. It can be just a point on the floor, it can be a rock. And this process of fixing your attention on a point will bring about a lot of concentration. It will help also understand the wave of your mind. So when you're looking intently or you can look at the tip of a flame, like Unimagine said in the chat. Yeah, the fire is a beautiful point of focus. It's always moving. It's a pretty powerful fractal to look at, or the flame of a candle will be a very powerful point as well. So the process of looking intently at this will bring about a lot of things. So one of them is when you are able to focus your eyes on a point, something that I often feel is if there's thoughts that comes in my head, my eyes will actually move a little bit around. And the more my mind calms down, the calmer it gets, the more steady my gaze become. So it becomes a bit of a kind of a metering of my mind. So my eyes, the more steady they are, then I know that my mind is very steady. So that's just one element of what Trataka will bring about. Trataka is a practice in yoga where you gaze at an element, but you keep your eyes open. So your tear duct will soon start creating tears. So it's very healing for the eyes. It cleanses the eyes as well. But then a lot of things happens mentally as well. By staring at one point, there's a very strong concentration being created. And it's very trippy. So Trataka, if you want to, if you want to meditate for, tripping, naturally tripping, Trataka is your best guess. And if you want to add on to that trip, put a mirror in front of you and look at a point in the mirror, or look at yourself in the mirror, and gaze at yourself, for an hour or something like that. I assure you, hallucination will come in. You'll see so many things you won't believe it. It's something that I did when I was, fairly young. I think 8 years old or 9 years old. I can't remember how young, but there was a shed behind my house and there was a mirror at the end, and I would just stand there staring at myself there, and it was just like the reality would just like fluctuate. You see all these kind of shapes and movement and things like that. So it's a very trippy thing to use Trataka to look at yourself. Of course, there are the other practices of looking at a crystal ball and looking at different things that will also create other sensations or other elements coming to your mind. There's, so many practices, many lineage will have different ways of using the senses. So this is only one thing, using the eyes. One practice I'm doing right now is to look at Chidakasha, which is the black space behind the eyelid. So you're staring at this black void when you close your eyes. So that's yet another way of using your eyes to focus now in emptiness, or the dark kind of dark reality that you can see when you close your eyes. And that's a very interesting thing, because you can close your eyes and let your eye wander around, or you can actually focus and really look at what's behind your eyelid. It's quite trippy. And it's part of a practice that I'm doing right now for the last couple of weeks that I'll talk about at a later date, to look at Chidakasha. So this is only one sense, the sense of seeing. And often people, they look at the screen all day, and looking or using your eyes for meditation might not be the best thing to do. You might want to rest your eyes and focus on different senses. So the sense of hearing is another sense that is fairly easy to use in meditation. And there's always, some noise around, and, if there's no noise at all, well, you start, listening to more subtle sound, you hear the vibration in your ears, to the point of, hearing or feeling your heartbeat and things like that. So the sense of listening has this similar effect of refocusing the mind, and it's a very potent sense. When you're listening, it's a very three-dimensional sensation when you're listening, right? It's like you can feel the feel, like you hear a lot of things that you cannot see. You can hear a dog at a distance, you can hear a car roaming by, and there's this kind of reality that's being drawn. So if you're focusing on just listening to your whole world with your eyes closed when you're meditating, you really, I don't know, something very different, something powerful kind of get created in the, you know, the mind's eyes or the your imagination. You can also listen to one song, sound. So if you're using, you know, sound healing and, you know, gongs or singing bowls and things like that, you can focus on that sound for a long time and then really kind of create a kind of a steady point for the ears to listen to. If you're meditating in the forest or when you're walking around, listening becomes really powerful as well. If you're, you know, a sound artist or doing field recording, this kind of feeling of listening is really powerful. Like one meditation I like to do in the city is really just to walk around and listen to, you know, the urban noise. And I was living in Montreal for many years, and there was always these really weird sound. Like at one point I'd be like, is like anyone hear that, or am I the only one? There's always these weird buzz and all these things, and discovering the soundscape of a city can be really mesmerizing, and I definitely can be used as a meditation focus. Although, you know, a lot of people like think that they have to be in the mountain and not listening to anything in order to meditate. An overload of sound can be a very powerful focus. So yeah, listening, another powerful sense. Another very powerful sense is the, you know, sensations in your body. So this feeling of the body, it's you know, something that I use really regularly myself, like, you know, bringing your mind to listen or feel your body, you know, feel the sensation in your legs, feel the sensation in your back, throughout the body. In yoga nidra, it's a practice that you know, go through your whole body and look at the sensation, or, you know, sensing every part of the body. My first yoga teacher, my guru, maybe, I don't know, John Rovinsky, was teaching me about body sensing yoga, where the attention is about sensing every element of your body. So every movement you do, you're always just, you know, focus on that sensation. And it really bring the mind in a very relaxed place where you're really focused on the body. And I think for me anyway, it's a very powerful way of using that sense of touch and feeling. And that can be used in different ways as well. If you're using, you know, self-massage, you're massaging your own body, that can become a meditation in itself by, you know, focusing on the sensation of your hands, sensation of your body. So, you know, this is yet another sense to be used in meditation. Sense of smell, not as easy to use in a meditation for me anyway. There might be people that are more attuned to their sense of smell. Something, you know, using incense in a meditation room will bring a bit of a sensation of smell. I'm yet to discover a very potent use of smell. I'm sure that some people are very sensitive to the smells, and they could, you know, sit in a room and actually, you know, take a surrounding, you know, snapshot by just smelling what's happening around it. It's not a sense that I use a lot in meditation, but I'm sure people can explore and see that. Similarly, you know, the sense of tasting. These are, you know, powerful sense, I'm not too sure, you know, how we would go about the taste. I know that in some yoga practice, there's a way of placing your tongue in your mouth and then creating a bit of a fluid. It's kind of saliva, but it's not. It tastes very sweet. I read about it. It's not something I've practiced in the past, and it's kind of that energy that comes from the circulation of energy in your body, and then you can taste when the energy is actually flowing down in your mouth. Something I don't have a lot of experience with, but that's something I've read about here and there. So sense of smell, sense of taste, they can be accompanying your meditation. Of course, you probably can taste something in your mouth or have something that a spice or something in your mouth, and then really focusing on the sensation and then seeing how that bring focus or focus your mind into that. So yeah, these are the senses, and it's hard not to use any senses in your meditation. People will say, no, you don't use your senses in your meditation, but you're actually focusing, closing your eyes and not focusing on any of them. I find it hard, and I'm studying, well, many things, but one of them is the Nada Yoga, which is a yoga of sound. So for me, like, the listening is, a huge part of my meditation. And in Nada Yoga, you're listening not only to the external sound, but you're trying to listen to this internal sound. In Nada Yoga, one of the core concepts is that sound created everything, so that at first there was nothing, and then from nothing two things came, and then sound came out of there, and then the vibration, sound or vibration, kind of created everything. And it's it's being said that you have the vibration or the sound, and then from that sound light is created. So from sound comes light, and then from light come solidification into matters, so that we're all created, from sound. So any vibration is really kind of the core of the whole universe. So that's kind of the view of Nada Yoga, a little bit of the universal creation of Nada Yoga. But the process of the meditation in Nada Yoga would be kind of to listen to your inner sound, and then kind of find that inner vibration that you have into yourself, and kind of discover, the secret of the universe by listening to the sound that's in everybody and it's in you. So senses are very powerful tool. It's important to see what happened during your day, how you can counterbalance, with your meditation. If you're overloaded with sound, or you're a video editor and using your eyes all day, it might not be the best thing to keep on using your eyes all night. But it's good to balance things out and see what will work for you. If you're not using your senses at all, you can have a focus on senses at night in your meditation. And if you are, not using your senses at all, you're kind of zoning out and things like that, using your sense might be a very good way to kind of enter into your body. Sense. Well, let's continue in music a little bit here, and we'll listen to Lyra Pramukh with the song called Gossip from her album Delta. Thank you. You're listening to DJ Demaru, Evolution Revolution on anonradio.net. It's hosted on sdf.org. Come and chat with us on the comm section in SDF. People are, you know, chatting around, and Unimagine was talking about, you know, using Zazen and then using more staring at a candle. And I agree that it's nice to change meditation technique once in a while and see how things are going. If you already have a practice, it's always interesting to go and see other practices and kind of keep on learning and, evolving, changing things around, shaking things up a little bit. I know that sometime I did meditate too much, and there is such a thing. For me, anyway, the meditation, for some reason, gave me, since I was doing so much meditation, well, I could, you know, do so much other bad stuff, you know, bad food and bad, you know, partying and things like that. So sometimes you even have to stop meditation for a bit and see how that feels, and then try it again. So this is my 10th show, and for the last 3 shows I've been talking about meditation. For me, meditation is, you know, should be in everybody's life next to flossing. So once you floss, you should go and meditate. And but meditation can be anything. It could be a walk in the forest or in the city. It could be creative activity, meditation. And there's, you know, as many technique of meditation as there are people meditating. So if it didn't work for you, it's probably because it was the wrong technique. So for everyone to find their own way of meditating, I decided to write a bit of a manual on different aspect of meditation, kind of breaking a bit the meditation technique in little pieces so that you can rebuild it for yourself. And we've just been exploring the 10 kind of elements of meditation that is a good foundation to understand what can be done in meditation so that you can find your own. I myself practicing right now more of a dream meditation. So it's called dream yoga, where I become aware in my dream. And then from there, there's, you know, many other techniques that can be used in your dream. You can even meditate while you're dreaming, chanting mantras or doing pranayama. So, you know, if I can meditate in my dreams, there's many other ways to meditate that are not limited to simply sitting down and focusing on something. I truly think that it's a powerful tool for us to evolve or continue our evolution as human. And there's a lot of realms and other things to explore in meditation, as well as the benefit that it has on our community and ourselves and people around us. And it's a beautiful thing. It gets pretty fun too. Like, it could be boring at first, but when you find your own technique, it gets pretty fun. And if you're with other people, it gets pretty powerful, and it's a nice way to connect with other people. I find that meditating in a group is, you know, one of the most awesome thing to do as a human. There's not much more, you know, powerful than sitting down and having this kind of willingness to evolve as a group. There's many ways to meditate. There's even a group that I'm participating in where we are studying a text. So there's tons of text that's been written, you know, in the last forever, talking about different type of meditation and yogas and things like that. And studying of a text is in itself, you know, a way of meditating. And you can experiment with different practices. Right now we're studying the Vijnana Bhairava, I think, if I pronounce it correctly, which is a tantric text which has, I think, 100 or so meditation techniques. So it's a very, you know, inspiring text to explore for meditation. So thanks again for listening. This is DJ Demaru on Evolution Revolution, live from Kootenay Lake. And feel free to reach out if you want to learn more about meditation. And come back next week, every Tuesday, 1600 UTC. We'll leave in music with one or two song, but we'll start with Faulty DL. It's called Shock Therapy.